The following special feature of WKQK Radio 1300 is pre-recorded.
This is a rebroadcast of the Brevard at Large program from May 6th, 2018, featuring Shannon Landon, co-founder of Codecraft Works.
Time now for Radio 1300, WKQK's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large, where we meet and discuss items and issues of interest to all of us here on the Space Coast. My name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm the host of today's program.
And my name is Christopher DeMuro, and I am co-host and program producer of today's program.
Our guest today is Shannon Landon, the co-founder of Codecraft Works. And today our topic is, obviously, Codecraft Works and the what that organization does here in Brevard County. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, thank you very much for coming. Let's start with, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay.
Where are you from originally?
Actually, I was born on a military base in Quantico, Virginia. Traveled around a lot. Lived in North Carolina, Oklahoma, California, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Georgia.
And so how long have you been here in Brevard County?
I was lucky enough to grow up visiting here. My grandparents owned a condo that we came to whenever we needed a break from all of that travel. And when it was time to settle down, I couldn't think of anywhere I'd rather be.
And what's your educational background?
I went to school in Massachusetts, graduated with a bachelor's degree from the University of Massachusetts.
And how about your employment background?
Well, during college, I was lucky enough to have an internship with a custom software development company. And from there, it's pretty much been tech, small business, and entrepreneurship's always been a passion.
I see. Now, we understand that you are the co-founder and CEO of Codecraft. When did you start Codecraft?
Well, Codecraft Works was founded by myself and my husband in 2011. We actually started out as a custom software consulting company, and through direct support of other local small businesses, education programs and such, and really just our shared passion for technology, we made sort of a leap or a pivot, if you will, to focus specifically on an ed tech industry, on the ed tech industry and the problems that we encountered over the years.
And for our listeners, ed tech, what does that mean?
Educational technology, and in our case, specifically computer science, software engineering, and cybersecurity.
And did you gear this towards younger individuals, towards the youth of Brevard County?
Yeah. So part of what was going on at the time for me was I was also raising three younger kids, and my direct experience with their education led me to believe that I could have a positive impact on their experience and use of technology, or more than that, their knowledge of how technology works and what they could do with it, what they could make with it, and then not just for my own kids, but also for our community. And it turns out there are a lot of people that have educational desires and needs when it comes specifically to software technology.
Well, you told us a story that, about one of your children leading to the creation of Codecraft. Can you share that with our listeners?
Sure. As a working parent in the springtime, you know, you often start to think about what your kids might do for the summer and have, you know, hopes to keep them busy and productive and happy.
You and your husband may have other endeavors, and so you can't be with them the entire summer. And
that's
As many families with children here in Brevard County, they're looking for camps and activities to put their children in.
Exactly. Right? And so I was talking to my son and saying, you know, hey, how about this camp or that camp? And
how old was your son at the time?
Oh, he was in fourth grade. And trying to find the best fit, something that would be fun for him.
Now, let me ask you this. In our household, of which my co-host and producer is a member, left to his own devices, he'd say, Dad, just let me stay home and play video games all summer. That'll be perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
That is 100% true. I do not deny that fact.
Yep, that's pretty much what it was. I mean, at the time, we were absolutely battling the screen for every second.
Which is true in our household and many households. I'm sure that there's concern. Parents are concerned that, wait a minute, maybe that's not the most productive use of your time. Maybe a little bit of the video games are okay.
Sure.
But if it's 8 hours a day or more, and you're just staring at the screen, there's not a whole lot going on upstairs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You're taking in someone else's ideas, and you're not thinking critically about the way the game is made. Very passive use of technology, not my favorite. And I agree with you. I think that's a problem for a lot of people.
And so getting back to your story, I'm sorry I interrupted you, but tell us the rest of the story.
Well, it's actually very related. And that's what my son would have wanted to do had I left him at home. He would have wanted to just stay home by himself playing video games all day long. But that really wasn't what we had in mind for him. And so in talking to him, really the only thing he could come up with at the time was math camp. And I was shocked from a fourth grader to hear that that was, you know, his second choice, being left alone to play video games or math camp.
You expected he might want to go out and play tennis or go swimming or play baseball or one of those things.
Anything but math camp, basically.
Right.
Yeah, it really caught me off guard.
But probably in a good way. No?
Sure. I was very supportive. And he's still really into math, which is great. And
so what happened? Did you look for a math camp here in Brevard County?
I did. I looked around and, you know, there's some fantastic tutors and some, you know, interesting opportunities school year, to supplement or augment your education. But there was no camp, nothing that really struck me as applied math, something fun. Except for maybe computer science, but there was nothing for kids at that time here either.
So what did you do?
So I took it upon myself to start working on that problem. And
that was the creation of Codecraft?
Yeah, so Codecraft was born.
So did you actually get Codecraft started that summer and have your child as the first member? Or did it take you a while and you had to find something else for him to do in the meantime?
Yes. We had to find something else for him to do in the meantime.
And,
I started working on it.
I'm curious.
Oh, gosh.
Swimming.
Yeah, I'm not sure I recall exactly. But it took a while. I started working on it that July and definitely talked to my son. But we didn't actually launch our first program until the fall.
The fall of which year?
2014.
Okay. Could you tell our listeners, what is the mission of Codecraft? What's the purpose?
The purpose of Codecraft is to develop curriculum and deliver opportunities for students, empowering all kids to learn computer science and programming concepts directly through hands-on activities and powerful mentoring relationships.
Well, isn't that happening already in the schools?
Not exactly.
And why do you say that?
Well, our schools and our teachers are really stretched for time. They have absolutely a lot on their plates. They're teaching math, science, reading, writing, history, and for them to take on the critical work of teaching computer science to date has not been something that we've seen. I think schools in our state offers a single science course.
Well, I keep hearing about these STEM programs or these STEAM programs. Isn't there some computer science aspect of those programs, those curriculums in the schools?
They're not teaching computer science in the school.
What does STEM mean? What is that?
Well, STEM specifically is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And so we do.
And STEAM? What's the A? What's the extra A?
The A is lovely, and it is for arts. And as I understand it, it really represents the creativity or the problem solving, thinking outside the box that is so often needed in the technical or scientific fields.
So don't those programs do sort of the same thing that you're talking about in the Codecraft arena?
They really don't. You know, in the school day, there is no time. I've had teachers tell me there's no time if it's not standards aligned. And right now, there's no requirement for graduation or through testing that these concepts be integrated into our curriculum.
So I just want to say, full disclosure, I've been a member of a good few Codecraft Works and Codecraft Lab programs over the years. And during the last school year, I approached my elementary school, St. Mark's Episcopal Academy, to run their coding club, because that was something I always enjoyed. And after I left, because it was just a 1 year program done as a thesis statement for two Holy Trinity students, I decided to take it upon myself to actually run that club. And I knew the first day I went in, I said, okay, I'm going to teach this the way that they taught me when I was at Codecraft Lab. It was Codecraft Lab at the time. We'll get into the various organizations later. I was teaching essentially some of the same subject material, Scratch, which was a block-based programming language, and I never could get it the same. I never quite figured out what I was doing differently, and I really still haven't to this day.
What you were doing differently in what respect?
What I was doing, I didn't know what was missing. Like, I knew, okay, I'm one person as opposed to, you know, they have many people. But aside from that,
we're talking about Codecraft.
Yes. I felt like my teaching methodology was still different than theirs in some way, and I still have not figured out quite how it was.
Well, that's something you could work on in the future, correct?
Certainly.
And when we're talking about coding, we're talking about computer programming. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that, I mean, the coding is the computer code that tells the computer or tells the program what to do.
Mm-hmm. The instructions.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I couldn't summons up the word.
I like to say to my students or ask, you know, what is a robot without software?
It's a piece of metal.
It's a collection of nuts and bolts.
Or
maybe it's
parts.
Maybe it's art, right? But it's not functional. It's not doing anything. Without that code, without the instructions that a human has written and given to it. So without that software, without those instructions, a robot's really just something pretty to look at.
Okay. Well, let me just pause for one moment now to remind our listeners that you are listening to Radio 1300 WKQK's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
I'm your host, Francis DeMuro.
And I'm your co-host and program producer, Christopher DeMuro.
And our guest today is Shannon Landon, the co-founder of Codecraft Works. So let's get back to what we were talking about. We were talking about computer programming and the skills necessary to be able to write computer code or to code that programming. Why, Ms. Landon, why is that important in today's society? Well, I mean, if you're somebody like me, you turn on the computer and you just want it to work. I don't care how it works. I just want it to work. I want it to do what I want to do. If I want to draft up a letter, I want it to be able to do that for me and make it in a nice format so I can print it out. If I want to look up some news on the internet, I want to be able to do that. If I want to look at a video, I want to be able to do that, but I don't care how it does it. It's like my car. I turn it on. I don't care how it works. I just want it to work.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, what you're saying today, you can get by with, but I feel like in the future, and not so distant future, that's a dangerous approach, really, to not understand all of the systems that you rely on for your daily life. More than half of our economic growth over the last 60 years resulted from technical or technological innovation, and much of which came from STEM-related jobs and fields. Computer science and the technology.
And do you anticipate that that's going to continue to grow in the future?
Absolutely. You know, I believe that computer science and the technology that it supports are a growing cornerstone of our daily lives.
So if you have, for want of a better term, Luddites like me who don't care how it works, that's going to be a problem in the future, because employers are looking for people who do care how it works and who are able to figure out how it works, or able to understand how it works. And figure out how to make it work.
I think you're right. It's about problem solving. You know, you mentioned your mechanic, and when you take your car to the mechanic now, the first thing they do is plug in a computer. It's about problem solving. When you look under the hood, whether you're looking at a car's engine or you're looking at the software code that runs the banking systems we use.
And I'm sorry. When you say we do need to know, that everyone needs to know how these things work, you're not expecting everyone to go out, at least this is my assumption, you're not expecting everyone to go out into the world right after they learn computer programming and create the next YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram.
No, of course not. But I think computer science or computer programming touches every industry, and so from any job or in the industry, it's important to understand the basics. Whether you're the CEO of a company, or the accountant of a company, or if you're a zoologist, you will probably need to be able to track data and write a simple program at some point. If you're running a company, you'll want to talk to the software engineers knowledgeably that are working on your product. So even if you don't end up becoming a software programmer yourself, the need to understand the systems around you, I think, is increasing.
So what skills does CodeCraft aim to develop in young people?
Well, I think the first thing we aim to develop is a healthy understanding of how to break down a problem. Problem solving is the gist of it. I mean, computer programming, the syntax itself, can be learned over time, but understanding how to approach something that's challenging without getting frustrated and giving up is one of our biggest goals. Additionally, we love to work on the soft skills. So as kids are building...
When you say soft skills, what do you mean?
I think the interpersonal relationships, team communication, goal setting, presentation...
working together as a team?
Absolutely.
To solve a problem that confronts that team?
Absolutely. You know, the biggest problem, you know, our problems today are big. The software programs and systems that most software engineers are working on these days are big. Most people are not working alone. So going into the workforce, whether you are working on software or anything else, and having the experience of breaking down a problem with teammates is invaluable.
So what age range are the CodeCraft services aimed towards or directed towards?
We primarily serve students 8 to 18. Most of our students are between 8 and 16. And then we have students who start to mentor. So sort of a mentoring program as they get into high school. They're curious and interested in learning how we're doing what we do, and they like to contribute. And there's nothing better for solidifying learning, really, than teaching someone yourself.
So is the mission of CodeCraft directed towards all students, or just those with a particular interest in computers, computer programming, and computer science?
I think everyone should give it a shot, just for the same reasons we were discussing, because it touches every industry, it's becoming more and more relevant in our everyday lives, and having a solid understanding of the way software and systems work is critical. So another thing is that someone who is very artistic may find a way to express themselves using software. Never before have we had the opportunity to make something ourselves and share it with so many people so quickly than we do today. So whether you're an artist, a songwriter, an entertainer, marketing. There's lots of reasons to understand the way software and systems work, even if you're considering the data that's taken in and how to see what your impact is.
So if you're an artist, you take a picture, you may be able to use computer programming to manipulate the image and make it different than what it initially showed, or make it prettier, or make it brighter, or...
Sure. Virtual reality and augmented reality are being used in industry and in education these days. Photographers and cinematographers have an incredible opportunity to get involved with technology.
And as far as marketing goes, obviously the internet is a huge thing these days, and every organization has a web page, and it's important that the web page be attractive, contain the information in a particular way that gets to the consumer.
Sure.
Is that right?
Absolutely. The look and feel of the website, and also understanding what happens when someone visits. Have they seen your page? Did they click on a link? Did they buy anything from you? What were the actions preceding that that led to that action? That understanding that for the business owner can be the difference between 100 sales and one. Narrowing in and really taking a look at the data and the analytics behind what happens on your website.
So are you saying spying on folks? Is that
not at all. Completely anonymous.
Okay. Can I just, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I need to remind our listeners that they are listening to Radio 1300 WKQK's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
And I'm your host, Francis DeMuro.
I'm your co-host and program producer, Christopher DeMuro.
And once again, our guest today is Shannon Landon of CodeCraft Works. We were talking about the students in CodeCraft. What does CodeCraft do? You said that you try to reach all students. You think it's important that all students have some understanding of computer programming and the problem solving that goes along with that. What does CodeCraft do to try to include all students? My thought would be that you probably have more boys interested in computer programming than you do girls. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate?
I think yes. I think the general tendency, the
particularly at a younger mm-hmm. age
or in high school. Really working to change that equation. And
how so? What is CodeCraft doing to try to encourage
I think
a better mix?
Mm-hmm. I think having female role models helps.
And you would be one.
I would be one. 80% of our middle and high school teachers, probably our elementary, 80% of our teachers are female. So I'm a big fan of partnering with schools and making sure that we support our educators of both genders in modeling for students what they might be able to do with computers and what industries are touched by computer programming, affected by computer programming. And through those partnerships, specifically with schools and community organizations, we do have a better mix of students participating. So if we make it convenient, so through virtual programs or through school-based programs, we can set up filters or requirements that we have a 50-50 balance in the classroom.
And how about students from different backgrounds, socioeconomic backgrounds, different financial circumstances in the home? How about that?
Always a challenge. And so again, through the schools, we have an opportunity to reach them. But in terms of access for them, I also started a nonprofit previously known as CodeCraft Lab called CodeCraft Foundation, which is now run by a fantastic and energetic board of directors who is focused completely on fundraising for underserved students and to provide access to activities like CodeCraft specifically for that audience, as well as engaging our community, specifically industry, in evaluating and recognizing the work that students do so that merit scholarships can be.
So where is the, I guess you could call it the world headquarters of Codecraft located?
Codecraft Works is located in Melbourne, not so far from downtown. We call it Tech Alley now. Codecraft has the pleasure of being located right next door to Groundswell Startups, which is a co-working space and incubator for technologists and startups. And it's just been great. It was, it's an urban redevelopment zone. So we moved into a building that wasn't looking so great just over a year ago. But now it is fantastic. But
there were funds available to renovate the building?
Absolutely. We had that whole area was renovated, and now this is probably one of the best places. It's what you would imagine when you think of a tech startup.
I can say from personal experience, it does look absolutely amazing. And the bank vault with a virtual reality setup in it, it is as cool as it sounds.
And also, there is a beautiful park right across the street with a nice view of the Indian River.
That's right. It is so lovely. So after you've been working all day, you can get up, take a nice walk around the park, or if it's raining, you can jump in the VR vault for a few minutes.
Yep.
Has Codecraft always been located at this? Is the world headquarters always been in the same location?
No, we actually just moved there last April, so we just had our 1 year anniversary in this location. And previously, we were in the downtown O'Galley Arts District on Highland Street. Great neighborhood, great neighbors. The facility was just quite a bit smaller, and we were really excited and ready for something that matched our growth.
And that really was the reason for the move, was needed more space.
Absolutely, yep. We tripled our space, and this is all for programs that we can now run for students in the area.
And there's now a giant projector screen where you can play video games. I'm sorry.
It all comes back to the video games.
Yep.
But really, it doesn't come back to the video games, because Codecraft's mission is to have the kids develop their own video games. That may be one of the missions. Is that one of the goals?
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, understanding how to communicate with someone who's obsessed with video games or YouTube is something that I think we're pretty good at. Trying to turn that conversation from passive to thoughtful and active is something I spent a lot of time working on. You know, my first question to someone when they tell me what their favorite video game is what language is it written in? How many people worked on that game? How long did it take to develop it? How many lines of code do you think it's written in? And those are the kind of, you know, that's a place to start, you know, breaking down something that you're just accepting as fun and perfect, to say it was a ton of work to build that and people got paid for doing it, but it wasn't easy. And so start thinking about it critically.
So do the Codecraft students. For instance, when I was a kid, I liked to play baseball. I wasn't a very good baseball player, but I liked to play baseball and had dreams that that's what I was going to do for the rest of my life. I'd be a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah, that never happened.
It never happened, and it never probably would have happened. But don't kids these days say, whoa, I'm going to be a game developer and make millions of dollars.
Now, No, that's not what they say.
That doesn't always happen either, but...
It's true.
What kids say they want to be is they want to be a YouTuber or a Twitch streamer and make millions of dollars playing video games and having other people watch them be awful at it.
Well, there is that, but there are also some of these developers of video games have made an awful lot of money that they've licensed them to big corporations and
absolutely
Nintendo or whatever they are.
It's a huge industry. There's a ton of opportunity, and the skills that come along with learning offer a lot of flexibility. You can go and work at an awesome headquarters, hopefully staying east of the Mississippi with us. But, people are also working on boats and they're working from their living rooms, or they're working while they're on vacation, or, you know, being in software allows a lot of flexibility and a lot of options, whether you're defending our nation as a cybersecurity professional or...
Which is obviously a big issue these days.
Huge.
Particularly, I mean, we hear in the news these days about influences trying to, some people from other countries trying to infiltrate computer programs here and shut down businesses.
Absolutely.
Influence elections, that kind of stuff.
It's very serious, and there's a ton of opportunity for students who are willing to put the time and work in to master the skills. They will not want. Not only is it a noble thing to do, defending our country and our businesses, our privacy and our industry, but it also is an incredible opportunity. So something I always encourage people to think about.
So if you don't mind me asking, you seem to know a lot about the more relevant fields in the modern industry of computer science. How good would you be if I actually told you to sit down and write a specific program to do a specific task in a certain language? How well would you say you would be able to do that?
I would say I would be able to do it well.
So what computer programming languages do you know? I'm interested.
Well, I started out really as a front-end web developer, so mostly web technologies, basic website stuff, and JavaScript. I'm pretty good at breaking down problems. So, yeah.
All right.
What types of activities does CodeCraft offer to its students?
Well, we like to engage students in camps, clubs, labs. We call them programs. So during the school year, we have clubs and labs, and clubs specifically meet usually at a school. So if your school is willing to host a CodeCraft club, then we can meet there, and it takes about an hour, and you have access to the online platform with the curriculum, programs, mentoring methodology that Chris alluded to.
Do you have some of those clubs underway here in Brevard County?
Yep. Several of them are wrapping up. We also have some in Leon County, Orange County, Indian River County.
Is where Tallahassee is?
Mm-hmm. And then in the summer, we really switched to a summer camp model. And so in those same locations, we're running summer camps, and we're also just piloting some virtual camps. So it's pretty exciting.
What exactly does what does it mean when you say virtual camp?
It means that you can get together with new friends and a qualified, certified CodeCraft instructor for lessons over the internet and not have to leave your house.
So you'd have students in different locations, but all communicating over the internet. So it's as if they were in the same room, but they're not in the same room.
It's typically a smaller group. So when we run a physical program like we would at the world headquarters, you might have 18 to 24 kids in a group. But online, we typically have smaller groups of 4 to 6, and they move faster, a little bit faster through the material. So it's just a different model.
Okay, so I'm sorry. Let me pause for one moment to remind our listeners that they are listening to Radio 1300 WKQK's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
I'm your host, Francis DeMuro.
And I'm your co-host and program producer, Christopher DeMuro.
And our guest today is Shannon Landon of CodeCraft Works. Well, the CodeCraft, you're dealing with a wide range of students. So when the students are first starting out, the younger students, give us an example of a type of activity that CodeCraft would have them involved in.
Okay. We have so many, but let's see, an example. Well, we start at the beginning. So thinking about how to give instructions. So sequential thinking. How do you get something to do exactly what you want? Have you ever tried to write the instructions for tying your shoe and then give them to someone for them to follow? Have you ever tried to write the instructions for making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
So that wouldn't necessarily involve computer coding. I mean, you would write it out in, they don't teach cursive anymore, but you'd write it out, you'd print it, or you'd write it out in cursive. And say, okay, this is how you make the peanut butter. You get 2 slices of bread. you get a jar of peanut butter, you get, and so you'd write that out.
Mm-hmm. So very specifically. And so when you say get, you know, then we can start to ask, what do you exactly mean by get?
Okay, you go to the grocery store, you have mom buy a loaf of bread.
So we can get very specific, and it tends to be a lot of fun. And you're right, we might start by writing out the instructions just in, you know, English. But then we can talk about how English is represented in a computer. We can talk about what a programming language is. So we might move from our regular sentence structure to pseudocode, something that represents the sentence that we've just written, but is not actually.
Can I just say, the peanut butter and jelly sandwich thing, I understand why it's important, and I do certainly think it's a great way to introduce people to the concept of computer programming and how specific it is, but it is the most annoying thing you will ever do. Seriously.
It's probably not very annoying when you're in the fourth grade.
It makes an interesting point, yes, right? It's annoying because it's hard, right? It's annoying because of, we all think of making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich as something that's easy to do, but it's not easy to break it down into all the minuscule and important sequential steps. And so for someone who might be in a hurry, you know, it can be challenging.
When mom and dad are making that peanut butter and jelly sandwich for you, and they just hand it to you and say, here, son, here's the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Because the child has never made the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So the child needs to think about what steps are involved in making the peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
But, I mean, playing devil's advocate, you could also argue that another good skill you should have if you are a software developer or a computer programmer
is to have somebody make your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for you.
Well, A, I mean, that would be nice, but also that would be nice. But also looking through code and being able to essentially read it and almost tell what it's doing. You can't do that with all languages, but a lot of them you can.
Yeah.
So you could also argue that if you're handed a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, reasonably you could look at it and see essentially, okay, well there's peanut butter on the bread, probably spread on there with either a knife, spoon, or a fork, most likely a knife or spoon. And there's jelly on the other slice of bread.
I like what you're saying.
Put together.
I like what you're saying, and I think the way that you approach that problem is really interesting. And I see that often. There's kind of two types of thinkers. There's a constructionist and a deconstructionist. And what you just described, I think, is a perspective that really works well in deconstruction or cybersecurity. So being able to look at something that is built and work backwards through it to take it apart and know each little piece and describe it is a really valuable skill. But some people, you know, really would prefer to start with nothing and invent or create. And so we, you know, there really are two tracks. There really are people who would rather sit down and write a video game from scratch. And there's other people who would like to take a video game and work backwards through it to find all the flaws and the skips and the, you know, the opportunities to move more quickly through it.
And does CodeCraft encourage both?
Absolutely.
Approaches?
Absolutely. It's an interesting thing, but it's the way the mind works. And you can be taught or coached along either path, but I think, you know, maybe there's a little bit of a preference in us, and so it's kind of nice if you can identify that and coach it along.
And in your experience, do the two different types of thinkers, do they get along? Are they able to work as teammates, or does the one say, wait a minute, you're doing this all wrong. You got to break this thing down, see what it's made of. And the other says, no, you don't. You have to build it up.
I think making sure that everybody understands their role on a project team is important, right? So cross-functional teams, you can have the creators and then someone who looks at it to make sure there's no vulnerabilities. We all hope that's happening with our refrigerators.
So would you say that there's some points in these types of projects where a deconstructionist might have to think like a constructionist or vice versa?
Absolutely, yeah.
And getting back to the younger students, so you may start with the English language, and then do you ultimately get into an actual computer language?
Absolutely. So
what would be the the one that you typically, that the younger students typically get involved with first?
Mm-hmm. We do block-based coding first. So a lot of students through school maybe have tried an hour of code, and then there's another free and amazing platform called Scratch, which Chris mentioned earlier. And so we write curriculum to introduce computer science topics and concepts and allow then those concepts to be practiced using this drag-and-drop block programming language.
Which Scratch is.
Mm-hmm, which Scratch is.
And then you may develop after that to a more complex language.
Mm-hmm. It's really fun. So when someone builds a game in Scratch, they can move on to building a game in another development environment. Or I've seen some kids take their games from Scratch and rewrite them in JavaScript and then rewrite that same game concept in another language like Python. And so, again, it doesn't have to be about the specific syntax of any language, but it's about breaking down the problem and the mechanics of the application or project that you're working on.
And that's what you're encouraging.
Absolutely. The long game. It's not that you can go, you know, you can go for a year and learn plenty, but to really master, you want to practice. It's about applying skills and concepts over time.
So that would be a lifelong sort of skill that you're,
I mean, I think so. I'm still learning.
Okay, so let me pause for a moment now to remind our listeners that you are listening to Radio 1300 WKQK's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large.
And my name is Francis DeMuro, and I'm your host of the program.
And I'm your co-host and program producer, Christopher DeMuro.
And today our guest, again, is Shannon Landon of CodeCraft Works. Ms. Landon, you mentioned earlier that you're, because the summer is approaching, that you're now going, CodeCraft Works is going into camp mode. And what does that mean? What sort of camps do you have available? If there are parents out there listening and they're interested in having their child get involved in this type of environment or these types of programs, what sort of camps are available this summer?
Well, we have camps for introduction. So someone who's never done this before, maybe your kids are playing a lot of video games and you wish they were thinking a little bit more about how they were made. So an introduction to computer science and engineering with block-based coding is appropriate for the youngest coders.
And do you have a camp?
Yes.
That is based in that fashion?
Absolutely. We're running 8 weeks of summer camp in Brevard, and I believe there's an intro 7 or 8 of those weeks. And then in parallel, in another lab at the same time, we alternate between higher level or more advanced, intermediate and advanced coding camps, where we would introduce advanced game making. We have a C-sharp Unity game development course that we're running this summer. And we're doing, each afternoon we have some sort of fun cybersecurity activities that are friend Chris DeMuro is actually helping us with.
Yep. I have a great time doing it.
And do the students at CodeCraft Works, are they involved in any competitions?
One of the big competitions that we run every year is the CodeCraft Computer Programming Competition. And that allows students who have participated in CodeCraft programs throughout the year to submit their work. And that work is evaluated by industry experts and outside judges, and then and that's really fun. We just had the awards ceremony last Friday night, and from that many merit scholarships to our program are awarded. And then we also support the U.S. Cyber Patriot Competition, which is a national competition which teaches middle and high schoolers the basics of computer cyber security, and then gets pretty advanced kind of quickly. And that's a very popular program. I believe at our awards ceremony, we had a standing ovation for the participants, which was absolutely lovely.
Which I missed because I was late recording the show.
But your team, if I'm not mistaken, came in first place in the state of Florida.
Yes, we were semifinalists.
It's brilliant, and that's no small task, as there are hundreds of teams competing in our state.
Yep. And the script I used all throughout that competition, it evolved a lot, and it took a lot of work.
Now,
and I really hope I didn't lose that. I'll have to check my email for that later.
How, for instance, the camps, or perhaps the activities during the year, how are they funded?
Parents pay, so primarily.
So there's a tuition involved?
Absolutely. The camp's $250 is a week of camp. You come from 9 to 3, all day activities, 5 days a week. However, the CodeCraft Foundation does offer a financial aid application for students who are in need of support.
And does CodeCraft have any local or national corporate sponsors?
The CodeCraft Foundation has sponsors, IBM, Rockwell Collins, Northrop Grumman was a big sponsor of our Cyber Patriot team, and Embraer Foundation is a new sponsor this year. We also have a local sponsor,
so
Indian
a lot of
River
the big
Networks.
Technology
yeah.
companies here that have a presence here in Brevard County.
Absolutely.
And they sponsor the foundation, so they provide funds to the foundation who can then distribute it to needy students.
That's right.
And how about corporate partners? Do you have any corporate partners? Or is there a difference between a corporate partner and a sponsor?
I guess being where we are, where our headquarters is, we've been really lucky to work closely with Groundswell and a lot of the emerging technologists and businesses there provide, you know, tech talks and come over and get involved. And they also love to recruit from our programs. 100% of the CodeCraft high school students and as seniors have been offered technical internships. There has never been a high school student yet that hasn't left high school with an internship.
And these are volunteer internships. They're not getting paid for these internships.
These are paid.
Paid internships.
Paid internships.
Are you hearing that, Mom and Dad out there? Paid internships with a high tech, with a technology company.
That's right. And sometimes national.
And so that, you said that that's happened with all of your high school?
100%.
100%. That's pretty impressive. Is CodeCraft, do you partner with any of the local colleges here in Brevard County?
Actually, yes. We were working with FIT. In the past, we have used their amazing campus for our programs. We love interacting with their computer science department, professors, and students. And then most recently, we formed a partnership with their continuing education department, who reviewed all of our curriculum and now offers FIT's university credits for folks who complete our courses for adults. So one of our big pushes is to make sure that as the demand for the skill set grows, we're able to offer it to as many students as are able through the help of independent CodeCraft certified instructors. And so the partnership with FIT allows us to provide that certification and also university credits.
Any partnership with Eastern Florida State College?
We like to recruit their students and nothing formal, but I do think that they have a fantastic applied sciences program.
So for any listeners that don't know, CodeCraft Works used to have summer camps on FIT's campus, like you said. And I will say that they had a soft serve ice cream machine that that a lot of the time, I probably shouldn't say this, but a lot of the time, no one was manning it. So it was basically as much as you wanted. And
that
we
was
were discussing...
That was at the Panther Cafe, all you can
yes.
eat. Right, okay,
yes.
I got you.
Before we started recording this program, I was discussing with Ms. Landon that if they reach a certain funding goal, CodeCraft Works may actually purchase their own soft serve ice cream machine.
Yes, it's true.
So you're going to, Christopher, you're going to try to hold Ms. Landon to that promise.
I will hold you to that.
Okay, all right. Well, let's do it. Let's fill up summer camps and get a soft serve machine.
That's exactly why I'm promoting it here on Radio 1300's WKQK.
And what are the future plans and goals of CodeCraft?
Well, Our goals really are about student impact. They're about, our goal is to reach students just like Chris and others, kids who don't know that this could be for them, kids who don't see themselves as a technologist or recognize themselves as belonging in computing. I feel like we will accomplish our goals when our program is accessible to everyone for a try and see a diversity, a growing diversity of females and underrepresented youth in the program.
And why should a Brevard County student become involved in Code Day then?
Well, in 2020, it's estimated that we'll have more than 1.4 million computing jobs empty, just waiting.
Well, that's why we get all the students from India and from Asia and that sort of thing.
Well, I would like the Brevard County students to have those same opportunities. I would like them to be ready to earn top dollar as they go through college and ace those really challenging college courses without the same heartache and sweat that they might encounter had they not pre-prepared.
So, if a student is interested in joining CodeCraft, where might he or she and their family find additional information on how to do so?
I would suggest they visit us online, www.codecraftworks.com. We also have a great Facebook page. Find us on Facebook, too.
So, with any specific questions concerning CodeCraft, who should a family contact directly?
The family is welcome to call our headquarters at 321-209-4674 or email us info@codecraftworks.com. And, of course, use my name, Shannon Landon, and this program.
I apologize for interrupting, but is there a contact link on the webpage? If a family wishes to contact you through the webpage, is that a possibility?
Absolutely.
Well, that's just what I was about to ask. So, is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know about CodeCraft?
I think that the listeners should know we're really passionate about what we do. And if you ask around town or you participate in our programs, you'll be able to see firsthand the transformation that happens for students. Students can come in with zero knowledge and with time and effort, leave with something that will last them a lifetime.
And I bet it also improves their confidence and that sort of thing. Their ability to work with others. I assume you sometimes get some shy students come in and all of a sudden they turn into folks that like to talk like Christopher likes to talk these days.
They all build skills and having that knowledge, I think, absolutely shines through.
And one further question before we wrap it up. The camps, the summer is approaching. When do your camps start?
Camps start June 4th and run all the way through August, the first week in August. We have some virtual camps happening the week right after Brevard Public Schools let out. And another nice thing.
Which is at the end of May.
The end of May. And we also have the ability to request a virtual program. So any of our courses, if you look at our course list, can be requested as a virtual program. If you have four students that want to do it, we'll run it just for you.
So if students are interested, they should be thinking about exploring that possibility now, because there's not that much time between now and
now's June. The time. Right. And the camps do usually sell out.
And they do. There are limited numbers.
Yes, limited number of seats. We try to keep the ratios pretty low. So in Brevard, we have 18 seats for each camp, and some of them may already be sold out.
But most camps you do run for multiple weeks, correct?
We run 8 weeks of camp, so a couple of them I think are repeating, but not all of them.
Okay.
Well, that about wraps it up for this edition of Radio 1300 KQK's weekly community affairs program, Brevard at Large. We thank very much our guest today, Shannon Landon of CodeCraft Works. We thank you very much for coming in, and we wish the program great success.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.